We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live!
Please remain silent while I am speaking. We have a lot to get through.
Put that cigarette out.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh my God, he's coming at you! He's gonna puke!
He's fat! You three guys want a war tonight? You got one! To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here!
Good evening, wrestling fans. It is Monday, February 17th, and we just finished watching this evening's edition of Monday Night Raw, and it is time to gather, as we do every Monday night following that show, here on Mega Powers Radio for the NPR Raw Post Show. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have an awesome show tonight because, you know what? I have to apologize for last week. I feel like I was losing a little bit of my passion for what we were doing here. After last week's show, it was really boring. I'm feeling like we're going to have another WrestleMania this year that's going to be unfulfilling like we did last year. But you know what? I often forget that no matter how disappointing Raw can be, this show is always awesome, and I should always make it awesome for you guys. So, starting next week, it's going to be a new Raw post show. It's going to be all different things going on. We're going to have new segments. We're going to have different artwork. We're going to have a new logo. And we're even going to be introducing a new member of the cast. There's going to be all types of wild stuff going on next week here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. So make sure you stay tuned here next week. No particular reason that next week's show is going to be special. No. Let's get things kicked off tonight. I will be your host for this evening, Mike Payton, Master of Ceremonies, Station Director here at Mega Powers Radio. Joining me this evening, first off, the lead host of Smack Talk over on SmarkOutMoment.com, Mr. Tony Mango. What's shaking, Tony?
Woo! I'm excited about tonight and next week. It's going to be crazy.
The Bounce House Prince himself, Mr. Drew White.
I'm not being replaced, am I?
You're not being replaced. But-
Oh, thank
Yet.
God.
Yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I like to hear
We need you here at least through WrestleMania.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank
also you. With us, Mr. Bad News Depressing Wago. What was it again? Depressing News Wago? I totally...
Yeah, that's what it's going with, along with Wagopedia, apparently.
Totally botched that one. My fault.
God, I'm glad we're getting a new member. Maybe it can do the beginning of the show for us.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, guys. So let's start digging into what we had going on tonight. Just let everyone know we will have the phone lines opening up at around 11:30. We do have the chat room burning up right now. We got Brian the Brain there. We got Joseph Stallman. We got Grapple This. Keeping things going on strong. We got a few guests. Hey, register so we get a name to who you're talking on going on there. And we'll give you shout-outs throughout the night. Good to have that chat room going on there and being a part of it. Also, we will have the phone line opening up if you want to go ahead and get yourself in the queue. Area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. You can also join us via Skype by pressing the little Skype icon on there. So many ways to get involved. As a matter of fact, we just opened up Twitter a couple weeks ago. You can also reach into us with the show with the hashtag Raw Post Show. So many ways for you fans to get involved. We always make this an interactive show. Guys, what should we talk about this week? I mean, it was just, once again, another blah Raw. As I said last week, I felt like last week disappointing, and if I was just judging it based on Raw alone, I guess there was some things to enjoy throughout it, but I feel like they're just kind of stalling leading up into next week's show, which is their big WWE Network launch, perhaps maybe even a rebranding for them as well. What did you guys really take away as the most special thing that happened tonight? Why don't you start us off, Drew?
The most special thing that happened tonight, it's got to be the Cesaro and Cena match. That match was amazing. Hands down. Best match of the night.
Steven, what did you think was the most the biggest thing that you took away tonight?
Well, it's always going to be a New Age Outlaws promo at the beginning of a match, just because I'm a fucking mark for those guys. But overall, it's definitely got to be Cesaro versus Cena. That match was awesome. Both guys went out there and put on a great show, and they're trying to make Cesaro look awesome, and I'm all up for that.
Tony?
I'm going to be the really optimistic person on this episode. I actually really liked this episode, and I got to say, if I have to try to narrow it down to one thing, it would be an umbrella category of making all the young guys stand out to the point where I didn't miss CM Punk.
Who?
Exactly.
Absolutely. I mean, throughout this night, I think the biggest people we saw still get a lot of shine was people like Jack Swagger, surprisingly, Cesaro, Big E, pushing their new names, The Shield and the Wyatt family. Who
The Usos, too.
And the Usos, of course, yes. So I can agree with you there. We did see definitely a lot of the younger stars coming out. Barely saw any Batista. John Cena was there, of course, and so was Randy Orton, but they weren't overwhelming as you would typically expect them to be at this time of year. So it's excellent that they're broadening their attention out over to other people. So let's run through all the matches we had that were between people involved inside Elimination Chamber. So we'll start off, I guess, since you guys named this one a lot, Antonio Cesaro versus John Cena. Absolutely tremendous match. I think this went through two commercial breaks. Antonio Cesaro, time and time again, showing how amazing his strength is. My favorite part of the match was when he was set up on the second rope as if he was going to do a superplex, except the difference was, rather than John Cena being perched on the top, he was standing on the ring apron. Cesaro was like, psh, no big deal, lift him up anyway, dropped him back for the superplex. Absolutely amazing showing of strength. However, it was not enough to beat John Cena. Hits the AA, gets the three count, lol, Cena wins. Still, an excellent showing for Cesaro, showing he's a contender and should, you know, be taken seriously going into this Sunday's Elimination Chamber matchup. Tony, take it over.
I loved this match, and that's kind of saying a lot because John Cena usually has the same match with everybody. This was totally different. Cesaro is somebody that I think is overrated by a lot of people, and I don't want to mean that in a way that he's terrible or anything like that, because he isn't. But I think a lot of people do the same thing with him as Dean Ambrose, where he's entertaining and he's somebody who could be one of the main guys in the company in the future. But because of that, a lot of people already make him one of the top guys. And I haven't seen this type of a match from Cesaro since the one that he had with Daniel Bryan in the Gauntlet. I forget how long ago that was, a year ago practically at this point. But these two worked really, really well together, and John Cena didn't have to take all the spotlight. Yes, he won, but what the hell? I mean, he was going to win. It would have been a little bit more awkward if Cesaro would have won, because it would have seemed almost forced if he would have won. And by having somebody like John Cena win, but win in a way that it didn't seem like he was squashing him or just waiting to win like he usually does or something like that, Cesaro looked golden here. And something that Michael Cole, I think it was, had said, it might have been JBL, that really kind of sums it all up. This was a career-defining win. That made Cesaro look like he actually deserves to be in the Elimination Chamber match. Everything else leading up to this, never really would have thought about it. But between that and the Randy Orton match that he had on SmackDown, I believe in Cesaro now.
Believe in Cesaro. I think it's tremendous that they're finally giving a little bit more attention to Cesaro. A lot of people were putting him as the odd man out in that match. Now, as you're saying, he definitely seems like he belongs. He is a prominent character there, especially surprised since they're giving him a rebranding at the same time. Usually you would do that at a separate time, but hey, you know what? What do I know? They're the big mogul doing these kinds of things. Giving a shout out to Grapple This in the chat room. He's saying the takeaway from tonight was the fact that WWE is no longer, quote, cookie cutter anymore. With Cesaro getting the push last week and the uncertainty leading into the pay-per-view as to who might win the championship, it's not your father's wrestling show anymore. I think there's a bit of truth to that. You know, I think a lot of people are have their gut feeling for the same person who's going into this chamber, but really it could be anybody. Except for maybe like I guess it really could be anybody. I don't know, but let's move on. Steven, what was your opinion about the match between Cesaro and John Cena tonight and both of their positions going into the Elimination Chamber?
I thought it was a great way of putting Cesaro over. Obviously, they're always going to protect Cena, and they're not too sure on where Cesaro's future is, so it wouldn't have been the right move to put him over in this match. But he got the win off Randy Orton last night, and he has a lot of momentum going into this match. I don't think Cena's going to win the Chamber, so I'd be up for the vote of actually having Cesaro eliminate Cena in the match. But overall, I think it was just a really, really solid match. He'd performed like this against Daniel Bryan, as Tony mentioned before, and obviously had that classic with Sami Zayn. So it's a guy that can definitely go in the ring, and I don't think there's ever been a question of that. With this whole rebranding and new interest that the creative team seem to have in him. I'm interested to see where he's going, and I'm interested in seeing where he's going to go with Jack Swagger and Zeb. Maybe we'll get to see a bit more of his character.
Now, I have a question. Underneath Daniel Bryan, who, big shock, was in two matches himself tonight, would you consider Antonio Cesaro the second Iron Man in the company right now?
I don't know what you mean by that.
The guy who has the best conditioning to go the longest distance.
I still think Daniel Bryan's definitely the Iron Man of the company, I think Cesaro's a close number two.
That's what I was saying. Underneath Daniel Bryan, is he number two?
With CM Punk gone, yeah, I'd probably say that.
And that's, I think that's a big credit to him when you also consider he is one of the strongest guys. May not look like it, but he has an intense amount of strength compared to a lot of the other guys. He is going to be a force to be reckoned with this year, I believe. I think it is time for Cesaro to get going. However, Drew White, what do you think about Cesaro and John Cena tonight?
This might be the best Raw match that has happened so far this year. I think that's a hands-down pick right there. But the thing is, you know, Cena may have these bad matches, but he will always have some, might say, match of the year candidates at some point during the year. And I think this could possibly be one of them. The weird net breaker that he put on Cesaro was very well. But that's enough about Cena. Cesaro looked golden in his match. And I think, you know, people might complain that, oh, he's jobbing to Cena. You know, it's not about that right now. He almost beat Cena, and he had multiple kickouts. And I think this shows that, you know, and before the match, Cena was talking about that, you know, it's the whole passing the torch thing and how Cesaro isn't there yet, which is true. But, you know, he is getting very close to maybe being getting the torch passed by Cena to Cesaro, which I don't know if that'll happen in the next couple of months, but some time down the line, I think Cesaro will be able to beat Cena this year, which when that happens, I think Cesaro can be a big main event player at some point during this year, maybe even having a chance to main event pay-per-view this year for the championship.
We got a couple people answering my question I said earlier about Cesaro being the number two. Both Brian the Brain and Joseph Stallman arguing that Dolph Ziggler should actually be the number two, and I could buy that. What about John Cena though? No one's really giving him any credit on this. Is there a chance that we could see John Cena going into John Cena Batista 2 or 3, depending on how you want to look at it, at WrestleMania 30? Anybody think there's a shot for that?
No, and I hope fucking not.
Not a chance whatsoever.
Well, wasn't their match at WrestleMania 26? Wasn't it like at least okay?
I like their match at SummerSlam. I don't remember much about their WrestleMania match, actually.
You know, I'd prefer to see that over Orton and Batista. But, yeah, it's still one of those things that's kind of like, no, not this. It's one of those type of things.
I think they've kind of booked themselves into a corner now where they have to do Orton and Batista no matter what place on the card it is and no matter who cares. And I think a lot of stuff on tonight's show really showcased that people don't care about it. They're kind of screwing themselves in the way that they had to have Orton versus Triple H as the last match of, what was it, WrestleMania 25? And by that point, nobody cared about that either. So I think this is just one of those instances where WWE planned things out to the point where they needed to stick to the plan, and they didn't have the foresight that maybe not everybody else will be on board with it.
Steven, I got a question I'm going to pull from the chat room just for you. Liberty Unlimited asks, what is WWE doing with Sandow?
I have no idea what they're doing with Sandow. Was he on the show?
No. He dropped out to someone on SmackDown, though.
Well, I don't watch SmackDown, so I wouldn't know, but it's a shame because the guy's got some of the best mic work in the company and has proven he can go in the ring. I think he's in a Dolph Ziggler position now where the company had interest and now they just don't care anymore. I think he's going to get an IC run in the future, but that's probably about it.
I'm trying to cycle through this long quote we got here from Grapple This. I think the point I want to pull out here, Dr. Tom Pritchard in a recent blog post shared that with indie wrestlers, that whereas the WWE has shown no interest in signing guys from the indie circuit at this point, he suggested them to stay true to their passion, that as witness with Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, Shield members, that there is it is intangible that fans latch onto, that pushing wrestlers more than what the WWE does. going into Elimination Chamber, and conversely, WrestleMania, the field is open at this point. So I think what he's saying is...
did Burhan write that?
I think what he's saying is that with a lot of the big old-timers being there, but definitely in lighter roles, this is a time for them to pull a lot of these guys from the indie circuit and really make the brand about them rather than what they've been doing for the last 5-10 years. I think we could all get behind that, right? We'd rather see guys like Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, even Daniel Bryan and Antonio Cesaro, still throwing them on a list like that. We wouldn't mind seeing the company being focused on a crop of guys like that, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I think guys like that have been more seasoned because they've not just been stuck in WWE's ideal world of development, and they've got grooming elsewhere, and they always put on the best matches, as we've seen. So I'm all for that.
So I'm not as versed in what goes on in the indie world like that, but is there anybody that they should really be paying attention to at this point in the indie world? And I put that out to the chat room. Is there any names out there that you should feel? I know a lot of you are probably going to go ahead and say Chris Hero, but anyone here on the show, anyone you would think that they should be taking a look at?
I wouldn't say Chris Hero. I think he had his opportunity and pissed it away.
I'll tell you one person that this is a little bit of a cheap plug, kind of, but I work with an independent wrestling organization in New Jersey called Old Time Wrestling, and the head trainer there and one of their main guys who's been there for quite a while, Brian Johnson, is so much better than what he gets credit for. He really reminds me a lot of a younger Chris Jericho, and as far as I know, he hasn't gotten anywhere near as much recognition as he deserves, I think.
We got a shout out in the grapple this for Kevin Steen, saying that due to his weight, they're probably not as favorable on him. That's understandable. But I mean, that again, you got a guy like Bray Wyatt coming in who's making a lot of noise. Maybe they'll be more willing to look at somebody with a gut. So let's talk about one of the other matches we had tonight that involved two members of the Elimination Chamber. This one was the one that we had in our main event. We had Randy Orton against Sheamus. It was fine. I feel like we've seen these guys wrestle enough times, not as much as John Cena versus Randy Orton, but enough times where this didn't feel fresh. It didn't feel special. The only part where this match really felt like it had a lot of oomph in it was when Sheamus did this series of Irish Curse backbreakers. He did three in a row, which was just at the end. Then he was preparing to do the bro kick. The Shield ends up interfering. Then the Wyatt family comes out, and out of nowhere, Antonio Cesaro and Christian show up. I didn't even see them run down. They just kind of were there out of nowhere. This is how we went off the air. We just had a brawl, lots of ballyhoo, or what's the proper term for this? A schmoz.
We had a Donnybrook.
It was just chaos here at the end of the show. I never really like when they just end shows like this. And also, for that matter, I don't like when they start shows like they did, where they have one person come out, they say something for like 20 seconds, and they're interrupted by another person, and then another person, and another person. They always do that when they have a big multi-man match in the main event like this, and it's so cliche and typical, and I freaking hate it. Tony, you take over. I think you share a similar feeling for me with these types of things.
I don't mind the intro thing as much, or the outro as much. More so the outro. I think I would rather have something end like that than for them to just have had Sheamus win and then go off the air. The intro one, you know, I can't defend that as much. That is a little boring. And when we were doing our ceremonial chat that we usually do during the night, your opinion of the whole, like, oh my god, this is so predictable, like, when's the next guy coming out? Like, it does the same thing every time, so that's annoying. But this match itself shouldn't have been the end of the night, I think. I know that in their mind, Sheamus and Randy Orton are the two marquee names, that the two guys going against each other, they would make the most sense, because they are two of the quote-unquote bigger stars. And the Cesaro and Cena one, Cena's the bigger one, and Cesaro doesn't match up to his quality in their perspective. But I gotta say, this was probably my most disappointed match out of them. And that's not so much on WWE's part in some way as it is Sheamus and Randy Orton. I don't think that those two really work that well together. I think Sheamus is pretty bland, and I think Orton needs somebody who's got something extra interesting about them to be able to shine. These two just aren't that entertaining to me. And if it would have been maybe the middle of the night or something like that, I could have glossed over it and forgotten about it by then. But without that brawl at the end, this would have been a much more sour note.
So we're going to finish going around the panel here talking about the main event matchup from tonight's Raw. But once we finish, we are going to open up the phone lines. We already got them lighting up significantly. So if you want to be in there, make sure you get yourself in line. The number is area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. You can also join us via Skype by pressing the Skype icon. Should be opening up in the next 4 or 5 minutes. Already people in there, so make sure yourself get yourself in line if you want to get on the Raw post show anytime soon. Let's finish up going around here. Steven, what'd you think about our main event matchup tonight?
I was hoping the fans crapped all over this because I have no interest in either one of these guys, and they were quiet. I didn't get the reaction I wanted out of them. Overall, it was just a dud match. Had no interest. I think when it's one of those situations like we've seen a versus Orton where we've seen it that many times that we lose interest in it. I'm glad we had the brawl at the end just simply because it raised the mood in the arena, I guess. That bit of wild brawl that we had lifted my mood and got me interested for the first time in 10 minutes after these guys had gone out wrestling. I really wish we'd finished the show off with Antonio Cesaro versus John Cena, though. Mm.
Drew, how'd you feel about our main event matchup tonight?
It was just kind of, I've seen it so many times, I really didn't care. I'm kind of along the same lines as Steven, where, you know, thank God they had brought in by like 12 people coming in, so obviously it ended on a somewhat good note that the crowd was crazy and not, well, you know, into it. But besides that, I really wasn't into the main event. Sheamus and Orton, what do you expect? It's just, we've seen it so many times now, it's just kind of like Steven said again, the Cena and Orton is just getting to the point.
All right, so with that, we are going to start opening up the phone lines here. We got lots of people on hold. We're going to ask everyone be patient. We will give time to all of you. Just please wait. Just make sure we give a fair amount of time to everyone to get their words in. We're going to open up first to a caller from 412, good friend from the show, pretty much called since this show has begun. Make sure we always get him in here every week from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Mr. JD. What's shaking, JD?
Hey, guys. How's it going this Monday night?
Absolutely tremendous, man. You know, we're all indifferent on this. Some of us liked the show tonight, some of us didn't, but we're always happy to be here on the Raw Post Show. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. I'm glad to be back with you guys again, as I am every Monday night, to talk to all of you guys, get my 2 cents in, worth it. You know, tonight's show was a bland show again. I mean, obviously, they were hyping up the Elimination Chamber. That's the big thing. I think they could have put Cesaro and Cena in the main event. I think we can all agree that was probably the match of the night, and I thought it was terrific giving them 20 minutes. I mean, they just didn't slow down. They kept the crowd entertained. It was hot. It was exciting. It was entertaining. It was energetic. And then, of course, like you said, you got a very bland ho-hum main event between Sheamus and Randy. I mean, you thought it would have been better. And then, of course, earlier in the night, you had Daniel Bryan and Christian. And, of course, the big question was, is Daniel Bryan's shoulder going to be okay after he took some beatings tonight? But all in all, it wasn't a bad show. I mean, the only thing that I was really kind of surprised at, however, is they didn't announce that next week in Green Bay they're going to have some of the big names coming out, like the Brock Lesnars, the Shawn Michaels, the Hulk Hogan, the Undertakers. I think they're trying to keep it low-key. But the only thing I really question about the WWE show tonight, however, was some of these matches they added to the show. I mean, you got the New Age Outlaws headlining freaking another match against the Usos. Then you have Goldust and Cody headlining the pre-show again. I mean, who the hell did they piss off to be in the pre-show warm-up twice in a row in the last couple months? Seriously. They're taking on Cryback and Axel? Give me a break. And then you have Titus O'Neil taking on Darren Young? Boring. They could have put that match on the pre-show rather than the Goldust match.
How did Jack Swagger become number one contender? How'd that happen?
I don't know. I mean, he won the Fatal 4-Way last Friday night, however. And you talk about Jack Swagger, however. I mean, for weeks we've been talking about the Real Americans splitting up, and I do think you're going to see that happen still eventually. But I'm just tired every week of Zeb Coulter saying, "We the people." Every time I see them, I'm like, "We the douchebags. Don't care about you. Shave your beard. Quit being an ass."
No, no.
Seriously, you're an ass.
Never tell that man to shave that beard. That is a glorious, glorious facial hair.
But some of these things tonight, I mean, there's one thing they didn't show tonight was The Miz interrupting Howard. Thank God about that. But some of the same segments, I mean, you have this whole thing with Santino and Emma taking on Fandango and Summer Rae. We've seen this for weeks now. Please, get a new story there. You had Los Matadores and freaking Sin Cara taking on the Wyatt family along with El Torito. Jesus, I mean, the last time we saw the freaking Matadores, I mean, they were headlining like the warm-up matches the last couple months. They haven't been on TV in like at least a month, month and a half. But what happens? Oh, they feed him to the Wyatts tonight. Then you have Mark Henry get squashed again by the Shield. I mean, who the hell did Mark Henry piss off the last 2 weeks to get just jobbed like this? I mean, he had a half-decent match last week against Dean Ambrose, and this week he gets squashed in, what, 3 minutes against Roman Reigns? What the F? Seriously.
The world's strongest man. JD, we got lots of other callers I want to bring in here, so let's jump into what was your high point, low point for tonight's Raw.
All right, high point definitely, you got to say, was Cesaro and Cena. 20 minutes of great match. I mean, I can see, like you guys said at the start of the show, I mean, I think at one point you're going to see Cesaro become a champion. I mean, he continues to just shine brightly, and he's looking better and better every time out. However, the last couple of times he's wrestled, like Orton on Friday night, and he did well against Cena tonight. Definitely has my high mark for the night. The low point of the night tonight, however, I'm going to say was the main event, surprisingly. I thought it was a very bland, ho-hum main event. And the ball at the end of the show, we didn't need that. Seriously.
Indeed. All right, JD, thanks for calling as always, man. We'll see you next time.
Definitely. See you next Monday, guys.
Have a good night, bro. All right, next caller is coming in from Skype. He goes by the Skype name Joey Hurt. Caller, is your name Joey or is it something else? Joey Hurt?
Apparently he don't give no shit.
All right, we're going to drop Joey Hurt. Joey Hurt, if you get your mic working, please feel free to call back in. Once again, reminding anyone else, if you also wish to call in, you can do so via the phone lines, area code 760-512-7247. You can also do it using Skype by pressing the Skype icon on the broadcast page. Also, if you scroll down, if you haven't noticed, we got a little bit of a chat room going on down there. Lots of people chatting it up in there. Brian the Brain, Grapple This, Joseph Stallman, Liberty Unlimited, The Heel Turn, various VXs and Zs and Cs. I can't even attempt to pronounce that. What kind of name is that, bro? Let's get into our next call here. Caller from the 606. Caller from 606, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, it's Grapple This. Otherwise, my name is Trent, and I'm calling from Kentucky.
Oh, what's shaking, Trent, man? Totally appreciate you calling in, bro. What'd you think about Raw tonight?
Well, you know, I tell you what, I you know, listen to your old thoughts, and to be honest, I think that tonight is very indicative of the WWE going back to its roots from the 80s into the 90s, going more high impact, more shoot based. That transition you have witnessed over the past roughly 3 months off and on. I mean, yeah, it's still kind of hackney, cliche in parts, but they're still working it out. And overall, I think that the level of product is finally coming back up to the level of fan expectation that has been lacking for so long now. And I think that is part and parcel to do with the fact that Vince, Triple H, and as well as creative, finally getting on board and realizing what the fans want. But having said that, I think, you know, tonight, I think Daniel Bryan did himself a disservice in that he's really trying to play off of the crowd response more so than he has before. It didn't seem genuine. I mean, the fact that he's over, and he's been over long before he even came to the WWE, is evident, and because he's a worker, and you cannot, no matter what anybody says, he works out there and he makes it entertaining, and he throws it back to that high impact shoot wrestling that we really haven't, as a community of fans, been privy to since, you know, the early days of NWA, TNA, the leftover WCW, ECW, that era, particular era.
I definitely feel what you're saying, though. Like, the Yes Chant, hard to believe, it's been around for pretty much a year now. But when he starts having a towel that says Yes on it and every bit of merch, it does start to feel a little bit like being shoved down your throat, and it stops feeling special being a part of it. It hasn't quite been as bad as when they tried to shove the Fandangoing down our throat and you killed it instantly. They've been lucky that it's been able to withstand it through that. But sooner or later, if you keep trying to commercialize it too much, people are going to stop wanting to chant Yes because they're just going to feel like they're being a zombie with it.
Pretty much. But in the same vein of talking about the throwback of old school wrestling, if you know your history, which I'm a historian of wrestling, and I got 30 plus years in, so I'm probably a little dated on you guys in that respect. But where y'all were talking about the Shield versus the Wyatts tonight, I liked it. And let me tell you why. Where, you know, the Wyatts keep, you know, going to ringside, you know, and you know, fake getting in the ring to fight it, but then backing off. That is a complete throwback to the days of AWA, WCCW, early NWA stuff, when you had your faction fights between, like, Devastation Incorporated, the Varsity Club, you know, among so many others. And it is, as an old-school fan, just to have that moment all over again, you're like, yes. Because it gives a nod to something that's been lacking a lot, you know, in recent years. But and especially in way of diversity, which the WWE is still trying to deal with currently. You know, specifically over the next 5 to 10 years, the sport is going to change, as it always does. The one common thread in the sport is its willingness to adapt to the modern climate. It has to, in order to stay relevant. Well, as you know, over the next 5 to 10 years, the demographic is going to be more Latino-based. Therefore, it's going to be more Lucha Libre in nature, or, you know, also adding in more Japanese-style wrestling.
So what you're saying is the stars of the future is going to be Los Matadores? Olé!
To be honest...
Olé!
Olé! To be honest, as silly as that sounds, it's going to be. Because your demographic, if you go and do the research, you're going to see a 30% shift over the next 5 years. And that's going to double in 10 years. 60% shift in demographic. From a rating standpoint, that's huge. That's your red button right there going off saying, oh, hell, we got to do something. So you do have to... you know, accommodate for that.
Well, that's going to be tough when you got, you know, Rey Mysterio's at the end of the twilight of his career. The true Sin Cara is gone.
Sure.
I guess they're going to continue trying to have the other guy under the mask. Alberto Del Rio is reportedly going soon. The Matadors, I guess, is pretty much all you got left. They're going to have to bring in some new guys if they're going to really want to keep pushing that Latino market.
Oh, of course they're going to have to. And that's what I'm saying. And then going back to my other point on that specific topic is the lack of diversity. This is still a old boys network in that you have predominantly white wrestlers, you know, that carry the titles or carry the banner of the organization. And it's not just WWE. It's also, you know, TNA and as well as some of the smaller promotions. But in therein, with the wrestling styles, there's not much diversity like you had. Like, best case in point would be WCW, NWA, TNA during its first 7 years, where you had such an influx of just guys from ECW, WCW, among other, you know, even from the circuit coming up, that were so diverse in styles that it made the product better. It couldn't help but get better. Right now, the WWE is sluggish in a lot of respects in that nature. But, that, you know, that being said, let me just quickly touch upon one more point, and I'll let you all go. What did you all think about the WWE tonight saying coming out against Pro Wrestling Illustrated, saying that Punk was officially released? They said, no, he's not been officially released. Is this going to end? Is this an elaborate work, or is this them trying to make an elaborate work out of a non-workable situation?
Well, Trent, we'll pass that question around. We're going to let you go before we answer that in the panel, though. But first, I want to ask you, what was your high point and your low point for tonight's Monday Night Raw show?
Honestly, I thought overall, because I look at it from a product standpoint. I've been in broadcast journalism, you know, 30 years now. And I look at it from the product. And if the product works, everything else falls in line. And I think tonight there was enough diversity and there was enough of a throwback and where the field is wide open at this point, because it's not going to be your Cena. It's not going to be your Ortons winning the title anymore, because Vince and Triple H, they're in that oh shit moment where it's like, we can't keep doing the cookie cutter stuff. It ain't flying. And it's not translating in ratings and buy rates for the pay-per-views, and especially going in with this network all their own. So they're going to have to throw it to the younger guys. But there, too, where these guys are aging out of viability, you know, you can't help not to give to someone younger. So the fact that, you know, there's a lot that's been opened up within the past month, really, you know, I can't say enough about it. As a fan, it's a beautiful thing.
All right, Trent, we appreciate you calling in, bro. We'll talk to you again soon, bro. Have a good night.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, guys, so I think Trent had a question for us. Let's just do an update of what we think about the Punk situation. We had differing opinions about whether we think this is a work, whether we think this is legit. Steven, I know you're the most committed to your opinion on it. Where are you at right now?
Still a work.
Drew?
I'm still waiting until next week to make my final decision. I'm still 50-50 on it.
Tony?
Not a work. I think that this was just one of those things where they haven't officially gone through all the final negotiations yet, and they're throwing it out there to try to convince fans that everything's okay. Please watch the pay-per-view in hopes that Punk will pop up. And then once Monday Night Raw comes on next week and they have a bunch of other shiny things to distract us with, then we're not going to hear anything about Punk anymore.
I think it's completely legit that he walked out. I wouldn't be surprised if we do see him again, but if we do, it's because they worked out a deal and not because that was the plan all along.
Right.
So it's kind of like, I'm kind of like 50-50 on what the deal with this is going to be. We still got a line of callers to bring out here. So while we go ahead and keep on chipping them through, we got a caller from 617. We're bringing on here. Caller from 617. You're live on the Mega Powers Radio Raw post show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey guys, how's it going? My name is Brian. I'm from New York. I know we got another Brian out there, so if you want to differentiate him, that's fine.
He's the brain, so you're just Brian. You have all rights to just the name Brian.
You could be Brian the Elbow or another different kind of Brian.
You know how there was the B Brian Kendrick? Can he just be D Brian?
That's fine. BCN, my initials are fine. And additionally, if I had a nickname, I'd think of something original, so...
In time, we'll come up with something creative for you. But for now, man, what'd you think about tonight's Monday Night Raw?
I will say that wrestling-wise, it was a solid, solid show. You can complain about the booking, but the work rate was actually very good.
Absolutely. What was some of your standout moments on the show?
Things that I liked. I really liked the Shield versus Wyatt family build-up, although if you noticed, it was exactly the same as the week before. Like, they got into the ring, and then they had a stare down, and that was it.
It was slightly more, because this time all three Wyatt members stepped into the ring for a moment. It's subtle. You got to watch for these things.
You got me on that technicality.
Yeah. This is old school wrestling. You got to stretch stuff out for a long period of time. You got to take baby steps. Matter of fact, yeah. I think they went too far. I think only Harper should have stepped in. Rowan should have stayed on the outside.
Rowan needs to know his place. I'll agree on that.
I'm just blowing you all with my wrestling booking logic. Anyway, go on, man. What are some other parts of the show you like tonight?
Other things are like just a lot of small things that I think people don't appreciate. The Ron Simmons package was great. If they want to do like, hey, it's Black History Month, here's some guys that were important. The Ron Simmons package was really good.
I was definitely touched by that.
I was around to watch him beat Vader, but man, that guy was good.
I definitely appreciate that they took the time to give Ron Simmons a little bit more recognition than just being the guy who says damn. They actually went very in-depth into his time in WCW, winning the title. They really didn't even go that far into his time as the in the APA. So I think that's cool that they gave him more of that time to his accomplishment of being the first African-American champion, the first announced world champion.
Yeah, yeah. Most of my comments tonight are really just responsive to people who want to hate a lot of shit. Okay. I tend to watch NXT, and I actually like the fact that Emma's hitting up onto the main roster now.
Okay.
I know that it's a little forced with Santino, but she has a unique moveset and a lot of personality.
I hope you're not talking about her dance.
It's a good dance.
You're not talking about her dance.
Oh, look, she's supposed to be a quirky face doing something that all kids can get behind. It's stupid, and that's why it works. I mean, no one's complaining about the Cobra because we know that it's supposed to be ridiculous. That's what Emma does, and that's why they're pairing her with Santino.
Oh man, you really just like made that make total sense, and I might not be able to hate that dance as much. I might still, But every time I watch NXT, man, whenever it comes to something with her, and I'm like, oh, really? And then when she's done doing the dance, I think she's really cool. She's a beautiful girl. She's an excellent wrestler. She has a really cool moveset. I actually like that part of her entrance where she does like the she skins the cat, but not quite all the way, and she kind of messes up. I always think that's really fun.
Little things to separate yourself are what you have to look out for. And unfortunately, people don't pick up on the smaller things.
Yeah, unfortunately. So what do you see going into Elimination Chamber? Who are some of your picks going into that?
Elimination Chamber. If I were to guess, hopefully we're going to try to, I mean, I don't want to be a mark as everyone else is, but hopefully Brian can walk out with the title and we'll be able to somewhat salvage the main event. I don't want to ruin my low point before I go, but my main thing about Raw tonight is what the hell happened with Batista? He's supposed to be headlining WrestleMania, and they give him three lines in the back.
That's all he's done the last few weeks. Has he wrestled once on Raw yet at all? I don't think I've seen him wrestle once on Raw.
No. I mean, if he wants to look tough going into WrestleMania, why are they booking him to beat up a guy in a neck brace? That doesn't make him look tough.
It makes him look like a bully.
I understand that. I know. You want to keep Batista limited on TV because he's like ratings poison. In my opinion, he's like the least interesting wrestler to not be named Kelly or Kelly. But, I mean, if he's going to the WrestleMania main event, it's clearly just to rationalize why they spent all the money to get him out of retirement.
All right, D. Brian, we got a couple other callers we want to get here, so let's go ahead and hop to your high point and your low point for tonight's Monday Night Raw.
Well, you heard my low point, and that's what it was. High point, clearly Cena and Cesaro. Match was phenomenal, and as much as I love Cesaro, you can't just not give Cena credit for it. Two guys had a great match together. And you can tell that when Cena has a great opponent, it's because it makes his selling even more credible. You know, you'll notice that guys with indie backgrounds like Daniel Bryan or Cesaro, they usually have this added sense of meanness when they're applying rest holds and submissions. You know, they'll claw at some guy's nostrils or try to rip off his ear. I noticed Cesaro had an armbar and went for the ear on Cena. And that makes the guy actually feel a little pain, and it sells the move further. And that was one of the little things on top of the big thing. That was a big win for me tonight.
All right, Brian, thank you so much for calling in, man. Always a good call with you. You're always welcome on again, so hopefully we'll talk to you soon. Have a good night, bro.
All right, take it easy, fellas.
All right, from that Brian, we're going to another Brian. This one, of course, we always had the clever nickname for Brian the Brain. Brian, oh my goodness gracious, Brian. Whoa, that was some interesting entrance music there. Brian, you with us?
Yeah, how you doing?
Tremendous, Brian. What'd you think of Raw tonight, bro?
It was good. I mean, it was really, actually, really, I mean, even the beginning, which I don't like that either, where they start off with one and interrupt. But they've been doing that for 30 years, so what can I do? You know, nothing's going to change there. But other than that, Raw was really great tonight.
What were some of your favorite parts?
I mean, they made me mark out at the end and then pop, right? Gone. I'm like, show them beating each other up. Something. I mean, not 2 seconds and then they're off the air. I mean, you know. Other than that, I was really excited tonight.
What do you feel most excited for going into? Because we do have a pay-per-view this Sunday, and the whole point of what tonight's show should have been is to get you excited for that pay-per-view. So going into Elimination Chamber, what are you most anticipating?
Wyatt and Shield. I mean, realistically, it might be the show stealer of the night. I mean, you got the Wyatts, who you really still don't know anything about. Two of their members, you know, Rowan and but Bray Wyatt, we all know Husky Harris, and you know he's a third generation wrestler, and so it should be very, very interesting because the Shield is probably going to implode Sunday night at Elimination Chamber, but still should be a good match.
Oh, I sure hope not. I think they got a little bit of time left in them. What about the world title match? So who are you predicting for that?
My prediction right now is Randy Orton for the win, but I have a little theory behind all that too. You know how they were talking about Christian possibly not making it to the chamber? Well, I think they changed their minds and it might not be Daniel Bryan not making it into the chamber.
What?
I know, it's just because of how Kane and all that interrupted at the beginning of the show. I have a feeling that they might eliminate Daniel Bryan and throw Brock Lesnar, or CM Punk enters as corporate Punk. And there you go. And everybody's either going to pop huge for CM Punk or boo him out if he's corporate version. But I mean, that's just my crazy brain just going nuts with what I can see the possibilities of happening. I would love Daniel Bryan to win, but we know it's not going
to
happen.
We need to get you like a big whiteboard and a marker and just let you go crazy. Putting out all your theories on there.
Sometimes I do that on my little YouTube video, but I mean, I haven't done that really in a while where I just go crazy nuts with what how I would book it. I mean, if I was booking it, I would book it so crazy because you would be like, your eyes would know where to watch.
Okay.
I mean, certainly.
All right, Brian, what was your high point, low point for tonight's show?
High point, John Cena versus Cesaro. Yes. I'm actually giving John Cena credit. He did good tonight. And low points would be Emma again with the stupid hands and almost kissing Santino, which is crazy, but you know.
All right, Brian.
What can we do? That has some levity in the show.
Yeah. All right, Brian, we got another call to get here. Tremendous call tonight, man. Thank you for always calling in. We'll talk to you soon, bro. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we got Joey Hurt calling back in. Let's see if we can get this this time rolling here. Joey, you there?
Hello, good evening.
Hey, Joey, what's shaking, man? What'd you think about Raw tonight?
I think it was very good. I enjoyed it very much.
Okay. What were some of the parts you liked the most?
Okay, I think it's unanimous that the high point was Cena and Cesaro. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great match. A way to show off Cesaro's strengths without having him win. You know, it wasn't necessary for him to win, but he still came out looking very strong.
You hoping for Cesaro to possibly have a chance going into Elimination Chamber this Sunday?
Oh, please say that one more time.
Are you hoping for Antonio Cesaro? Oh, sorry. Are you hoping for Cesaro to have a chance going into this Sunday's Elimination Chamber match?
I don't think that will happen because you should take time with Cesaro's build-up, you know, because first he's still technically a heel. So I think maybe it is wise to turn him face, let him gain admiration from the fans, and then let him blossom as a champion of some sort.
So what time period would you say you would expect the belt to go on? Would it be this year, maybe next year?
Oh, definitely this year. Post-WrestleMania, maybe he'll have a face turn, and then this year, have him regain one of the second tier belts. Mm. Like he was a previous U.S. champion, and have him have a lengthy run with one of the second tier belts, and not as a favor to him. Like he could legitimize one of those title belts because right now their quality is lacking. And then once he has a great run as either Intercontinental Champion or U.S., then he could go on and have a major feud for the world title. And speaking of the world title, I wish that they merged the two belts into one because carrying around the two belts, it's I don't – it's only me, but I don't quite like it.
Well, what would you pick? Would you pick one of those belts? Would you design something new?
Well, you know, I wasn't prepared for that question, so I don't But okay, to give an abrupt answer, that the WWE title, the one Rock introduced,
yes.
I think that's a handsome belt, and they can keep that one and kind of put the gold one away as a relic. It had a glorious past, but kind of a you can shelve that and keep that WWE belt.
It does have a look of that kind of belt that you would only see on a shelf in a Hall of Fame. It's like, wow, look at that. That's from like the 1920s.
Right. And I'm glad that The Rock introduced that belt and they got rid of the spinner belt, which they should have done. Yeah, you know, when that Cena rap gimmick was over, then they should have retired that belt.
Nope, we got like 8 glorious years with that spinner belt. Joey, yeah. Who is your favorite for the Elimination Chamber matchup then?
I would have to say Randy Orton, and the reason is, you know, they had Randy Orton on a losing streak with these gauntlet matches he's going through. Like, he lost more than he won. So with that, you never go with the obvious with WWE. They're making Randy Orton to be that he's the loser of the six, and constantly you hear the commentators say, oh, the champion has a 20% chance of winning, you know, making it look bad for him. And when you see that, go for the long run. You know, go for what they're trying to make you not go for.
Indeed. What about the Wyatts and Shield matchup? What do you hope to see with that?
Wow. I don't know if during that match there would be a Shield breakup or maybe later on the road to WrestleMania. But I can't even pick a winner with this. I don't know if there would be some inconclusive ending to it. But they're both hot. And if you ask me, the Wyatts are a little more on their ascension than the Shield. The Shield been around longer, so their decline has begun. So maybe the Wyatts are hotter. But the Shield is still very formidable and fun to watch and unique. And so in conclusion, I haven't decided the winner, but clearly there will be a breakup with the Shield, in my opinion.
Roman Reigns is the hottest baby girl.
Roman Reigns is the star of the three, if you ask me. However, the other two, Dean and Seth, they both, I think they could stand alone. They have their own individual quirks that is interesting.
It's very rarely when you look at a group of people that you don't see someone automatically as the weak link. Pretty much everyone there, you could argue a case for having a career after this splits up. I can't think of any other faction like that.
I agree with that, yes. You know, the announcers use an appropriate term for Dean. They call him eccentric, and he kind of has that style about him. And Seth, to me, has underrated technical ability, and he has kind of been the leader of the pack. If you ask him about guidance and things like that, he kept the other two from quarreling with each other. So he's, you know, even though he doesn't get the spotlight, he's really been the leader of the pack. So I think all three can flourish individually.
All right, Joey. So let's wrap this up by asking you, what was your high point and your low point for tonight's Raw?
Yeah, I would have to say the high point, like most people, is Cena Cesaro. Mm-hmm. And the low point, this may be shocking, is there was no Diva match. And I'll explain that further. I was very high on Naomi, and it's unfortunate that she has this injury because she was very hot as the past month or so. And I'm not talking only of her looks, which that goes without saying, but she is very good in the ring and exciting to watch. And unfortunately, with that knee to the eye socket, it put her out. And so I suppose I'm still saddened about that. And so the Diva division is kind of going away or becoming stagnant. But if she was indeed still around, that would have been exciting to watch, her chase of AJ.
Oh, it sure would be. But since she is gone, I mean, what are we going to watch? Cameron take her place?
No. surprisingly, when I think a week after the injury of Naomi, when Cameron was in a tag match with the Bellas, I believe, she performed quite well, and she actually pinned Oksana, who was the one who injured Naomi. So, yes, I still think Naomi has performed better than, what's the other girl name?
Cameron.
Cameron. However, I don't know. I believe I agree with you that Cameron cannot take the place of Naomi at this point. So, unfortunately, the WWE division for the women has become stagnant. Although I think there has been a crime for a long time now of not pushing Natalya, who is clearly as legit as it gets for the women's division.
All right, Joe, we got another caller coming in, so let's give him some time on there. Joey, thank you so much for your call. It was awesome. Always welcome to call again anytime, man. Have a good night.
Okay, thank you for having me.
No problem, bro. Have a good night. All right, we got another caller on the line here. We're going to bring him on. Caller from the 856 area code. What's your name and where you called from?
What's up, guys? It's Dane.
Hey, Dane. What's Quinn. Shaking, bro? Thanks for calling in.
What's up, man? Yeah, I love the show. After every roll, I listen.
Oh, we appreciate that, bro. We always see you tweeting out to us. Always dig that. So what'd you think about tonight's show?
I didn't think it was that bad at all. I just kind of like someone brought it up earlier about Batista being pushed for the main event at WrestleMania and only getting a backstage segment. Even though I did laugh. I thought it was kind of funny how he said Orton is the ass of the company. I thought that was pretty good, but it seems like maybe they're starting to listen to the fans and how, like, I feel like they would just absolutely crap on Orton and Batista, especially if it closes the show. I think that's, like, the worst idea WWE can have.
At WrestleMania?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they will shit all over that.
Yeah, say that is, like, the main event, like, unless they add Daniel Bryan to the mix or whatever, if that is the main event, like I don't think it'll go over well with the fans on the internet or even in the Superdome.
So what's your pick for going into the Elimination Chamber matchup? Who's your favorite?
I do like Orton, but because I really hope that they can squeeze Daniel Bryan into the WrestleMania main event. But for some reason, for me, it depends on whether or not the CM Punk thing is a work or not. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just a fan of me. I don't want to see Triple H face Daniel Bryan or whatever. And I really don't want to see Orton versus Batista. So I guess I'll say somehow Daniel Bryan wins at the Elimination Chamber, and it sets up a triple threat match at WrestleMania, even though I don't really want to see that either.
And who would you say is the worst person in the Elimination Chamber match? Is it Christian?
No, I will never say that. Not at all, dude. I think they're all great competitors in the Elimination Chamber.
What did you think about Christian's heel turn tonight?
It's exactly what WWE does all the time. I don't know. It's like so late in his career that, like, it's just sad.
You don't got time to do a legitimate heel turn. It's like, oh, he's heel now. Let's go.
I think they should put a blue dot over his face.
He's a heel, and then on SmackDown, I'd be like, wait, he's a face again? And no, he's a heel. He turns heel on Raw or something. And it makes me sick because Orton's fails all these tests and gets suspended, but he's the champion. And CM Punk, it's all these main event slots and pay-per-views, and he walks out of the company. Christian never even gets a chance. If I were him, or Ziggler, or Ryder, I would just take up another job or something, find something else.
Well, there's always TNA.
Like, guys like that. Christian been there and conquered that, man, like nothing.
Yeah, Christian was too big of a fish for that pond. Like, there really isn't anything for these guys to do. Maybe go to Japan, that's about it. Who the hell wants to go to Japan? Because then you got to live in Japan.
Well, yeah, I want to go to Japan.
Yeah. Tsunamis and everything, like, God knows.
So what do you think about also the big match also coming on Elimination Chamber, the Wyatt family versus the Shield?
I think the Wyatts will win just because they're planting the seeds for, like, the Shield to break up. If this match occurred maybe, like, back maybe a little after, like, SummerSlam, I would be more excited for it. But now it just kind of seems like the Wyatt should win. I mean, it's really not even a question if you ask me.
All right, so let's ask you what your high point and your low point for tonight's Monday Night Raw was.
High point, definitely the Cena and Cesaro match. Both guys, like, everyone gives credit to Cesaro, but, you know, Cena's in the match as well. And Christian and Daniel Bryan had a great match as well. So overall, I thought like the matches, although predictable at times, kept me entertained. So that's always a plus. And low point, I really don't care about Batista too much, but the fact is that one of the guys on the call said it good, like pushing a guy in a neck brace seems kind of weak. Like, kind of hope Del Rio wins, but even though that's not going to, you know, everyone in the world knows that's not going to happen. So probably the lack of use of Batista for having him win in the Rumble and just like, if he wasn't on the show, you wouldn't even notice.
Even The Undertaker did more between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania when he won it.
Yeah, and I think it's just the creative. I really don't think it's like lack of dates, like Lesnar or.
Well, because he's obviously
the Undertaker. Yeah, he did that backstage segment. You can have him come out and, you know, or have Del Rio rant about something and have him come out, but I think they're afraid to use him because they know that he's going to get booed no matter who he faces. I mean, I'm sure at the Elimination Chamber, you'll hear Del Rio chants more than you'll hear Batista chants, and that's pretty bad.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Dane. Excellent call, bro. We'll talk to you again soon, man. Have a good night.
Yeah, thanks, man. Love the show. See you later.
Ah, Dane's awesome, man. Lots of awesome callers. We just had a string there. It was fantastic. Still some time if you want to get in here. Phone number to call in is area code 760-512-7247. You can also dial in via Skype. And we have the chat room burning up. We got Brian the Brain, Grapple This, Liberty Unlimited, Stephen Huego, our very own, chatting things up in there. VXCZVZ, which I believe is Dane, who is just on the phone with us here. And the heel turn, getting himself some heat in the chat room there. Be careful there, bro. We don't want any big fights in there. Play nice.
Boom.
Oh, goodness gracious. So I believe we last left off talking about the main event. We have one more chamber in matchup to talk about, and that is from the start of the show. We had Christian versus Daniel Bryan. We had just mentioned it. Out of nowhere, Christian is suddenly a heel again. Just because before the matchup even started, Christian attacked Daniel Bryan, slamming him into the barricade and the steps. Christian fights all throughout the whole match, attacking Daniel Bryan's shoulder, but ultimately Daniel Bryan is able to get the roll up for the victory. However, after the match concludes, Kane comes out and says, "Daniel Bryan, you have another match, and it's against me." So Kane wrestles, wearing a wife beater, which I thought was a weird outfit for him. Like, at the Rumble, he came out with just the suit pants, no top. And Kane's looking in fantastic shape right now. So if he wants to flaunt it, good for him. But apparently he didn't want to tonight. He wanted to be the fat kid in the pool. Kane ends up getting himself DQ'd in the match when he keeps attacking Daniel Bryan's arm while it's wrapped around the corner ring post. And that's where it leaves it. Daniel Bryan not looking like he's going to be in good shape going into this Sunday's Elimination Chamber. Let's pass it around to you guys. What do you think about the attacks on Daniel Bryan from Kane? And what do you think about the heel turn for Christian, Tony?
I think this is kind of a reference to what happened with CM Punk at the Royal Rumble, and another reason why CM Punk isn't going to come back. They just decided that they were going to throw Kane in with Daniel Bryan in the meantime. That way we can see Daniel Bryan get screwed out of the match at Elimination Chamber. And, you know, you can't have Daniel Bryan against Triple H at WrestleMania and have him face nobody on the road to WrestleMania. So what do you do instead? You have him fight the person that he can beat, which is Kane. It would have happened with CM Punk, and it's going to happen with Daniel Bryan. So Kane right here is just setting up the end of the Elimination Chamber match. You're going to see Daniel Bryan lose because of the interference. That's going to promote Triple H match. And then we're going to see Daniel Bryan beat the shit out of Kane for the next few weeks until WrestleMania.
Drew?
I wasn't really into this, the two matches. It was good work of the shoulder to make the injured shoulder, as one might say, but otherwise I really wasn't into it. I agree with you. I think the wife beater looks stupid on Kane. I'd rather see him go bare chest or, you know, keep the suit on, one might say. Hey, there's nothing gay about
Ooh,
Kane.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, bare chest.
I mean, Kane looks in fantastic shape. Yeah, no doubt about that, but I don't know. Today it just felt weird seeing just Daniel Bryan and Christian. I wasn't into it. Christian's heel turn. It was I didn't even realize he was a heel until you guys mentioned it either in the chat or one of the people in commentary mentioned it. So it was just it was just bad timing, I guess, because I wasn't really into the beginning of Raw.
Steven?
I came in late from work, so I had to catch up a little bit on YouTube, so I didn't actually see the match, so I can't comment on the quality. I just hope they're not pushing towards a Kane versus Daniel Bryan match, because that would be terrible. Not that these two guys can't go, it's just Daniel Bryan's at such a high right now. Anything less than a match with Triple H or a title match, it's just not good.
Team Hell No Explodes isn't good enough for you?
No, it's not. It would have been closer to the time where it was fresh that they'd parted ways, but right now it's no interest to me. And in fact, throughout all this conflict with Kane and Daniel Bryan, they've barely touched on the point that they used to be a tag team, other than one segment backstage.
This is very true. I was kind of hoping they would bring it more, and it's been rather silent for that fact. Let's go around real quick here, guys. Let's just get a rough gut feeling, not counting what we're seeing, not counting the time leading up to the event, who we're looking for in this Elimination Chamber match to be the favorite. Steven?
Randy Orton wins.
Drew?
The Chamber match?
Yes,
I think it's obvious that Orton will win the Chamber match, unfortunately.
Tony?
Definitely Randy Orton, and I'll throw you one extra thing. He last eliminates Daniel Bryan.
Ooh, that's not risky at all.
I was actually thinking something very similar. I was thinking that Daniel Bryan somehow still gets a fluky defeat in this, where it's still going to leave it open for him to find his way into there later on. Or what may happen, Daniel Bryan may just pull out a victory in there, and then the following night on Raw, of course, the big 24th edition of it, they're going to have a rematch, and then Daniel Bryan will once again be screwed out of a title reign. Only have it for one more day.
That's one more day than what he's had previously.
No, he's had it for a day before.
Yeah, it'd be just another day. So now, hey, he doubled the reign of his.
He's been a champion for 48 hours and 5 minutes. Built it up quite
three. I wouldn't complain.
Spread out over three reigns. Fantastic.
It's more than Andre the Giant can boast.
We're going to get more in depth with our predictions for the Elimination Chamber and also our predictions for every other match on there on this week's edition of Smark Out Moment Smack Talk Show. So go to smarkoutmoment.com if you want to hear the full predictions for that. Once again, our opinions may change. That's going to be closer to the show. We're going to be recording that on Friday or maybe Wednesday. I don't know what we're doing. That's not important. It'll be on YouTube this weekend, though, so search for that. Let's move on to what else went on tonight. We had lots of events happen between The Shield and the Wyatt family. The Shield's main involvement tonight, they had a match between Roman Reigns and Mark Henry, which first when I saw it come up on the screen, I was like, oh, hell yeah, this is going to be an awesome big man match. And it was fine. It was short, but man, seeing Roman Reigns pull off the Superman punch and the spear on a big guy like Mark Henry looked absolutely fantastic. Roman Reigns getting the clean pin after the spear. So another super awesome victory for Roman Reigns. Once again, looking like a beast. After the match, Wyatt family came out, they did their spiel, talked their weird thing on the screen. They ended up coming out after it. They had another face-to-face. This time, as I was saying before, rather than just Bray Wyatt stepping into the ring, all three members stepped into the ring. Roman Reigns, once again looking like the bravest guy out of them all, steps forward and almost does that thing where he like draws a line, like, I dare you to cross it. Wyatt family, though, opting not to cross it, once again, going for the exit and leaving out. So, I guess we'll just stick with this match for now. Tony, what'd you think about the Roman Reigns and Mark Henry matchup?
I thought it was pretty good, and I thought that one of the best parts about it was how Roman Reigns is really coming into his own as a babyface, and he hasn't even turned yet. If you noticed, before he hit his two signature moves, the Superman punch and the spear, he's already figured out what taunts he's going to do that'll get the crowd pumped up, and they are already getting pumped up for it, so this just spells an awesome future for Roman Reigns. And even though Mark Henry had to kind of take a little bit of a fall this week and put him over in that regard, that's for the better. Mark Henry can take that. I mean, he's not losing to Emma. He's losing to Roman Reigns. And I'd like to see something else happen with Mark Henry and The Shield. Maybe if they don't go with a triple threat at WrestleMania for the United States title, maybe Mark Henry wins the U.S. title right before WrestleMania because Roman Reigns, I don't know, spears Dean Ambrose and fucks him over or something like that. I don't know what they are planning to do with this kind of stuff, but if Mark Henry doesn't look like a complete idiot in the next few weeks by losing to like Seth Rollins and then Dean Ambrose is just pissed off that he's the only one who couldn't beat him or something, then this is a great start to something really awesome with Roman Reigns. I thought this was one of the best parts of the night.
Yeah, you talk about the taunts that Roman Reigns has been doing. You're absolutely right. Like, everything this guy has in his pack is just absolutely awesome. And that one scream he does, he's like, ooh, ah, and he spreads his arms out wide. Holy shit, that's intense. Like, if there was a guy standing on the opposite side of a ring doing that to me, I would shit my pants. Then little things like when he cocks the arm when he's getting ready to do the Superman punch. All fantastic little mannerisms he's starting to include in there. Drew, what did you think about the matchup between Mark Henry and Roman Reigns?
Short and to the point, you know, this is just about Reigns getting over towards the babyface, and I don't think there's much to really talk about the match besides for the Superman punch and the spear. I thought that was my two favorite parts. It just looked fantastic. I think Roman Reigns is kind of big future for him, and that's for sure. But moving on from that, the promo afterwards and the Shield and the Wyatts going face-to-face, you know, not intertwining, but you know, just like having the stare down. I thought it was very interesting, and that, you know, it's slowly building up. And I honestly, I'm really glad that they're building towards this match now and not after SummerSlam, due to the fact that after SummerSlam, the Wyatts were not over at all. No one liked them. And now this feud can actually mean something because everyone wanted the Wyatts and the Shield like after SummerSlam, but nope, we got it now. And I think this is the best time to do it, even though it's obvious that the Wyatts are going to win. I don't care. I'm looking just this segment alone is making me look forward to this Sunday's pay-per-view.
That's a very good point, man. Like, no one, especially us, we just shat all over the Wyatt family. We love the gimmick. We love the entrance. We love the theme song. We love all that. But as far as wrestlers and the people playing the parts, we just shat all over them. And it wasn't until this storyline with Daniel Bryan that we started actually giving them a bit of credit. We're seeing what these guys are actually capable of. So kudos to Daniel Bryan. You know, a lot of people shit about how Daniel Bryan had to, you know, drop himself down a peg to work with these guys or however you want to say it. But you know what? Now the Wyatt families are that much more important and we're that much more excited for what they're going into with the Shield. Excellent point, Drew. So Steven, what'd you think about tonight's events with Mark Henry and Roman Reigns?
Well, first off, I'm still not sold on Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. I can't stand either of the guys, but I'm a big supporter of Bray Wyatt. As far as this goes, it's another match which I didn't get to see fully caught the end of, but man, he can make that spear look awesome on anyone. I'm just loving the direction they're going with Roman Reigns, and part of me wishes he won the Royal Rumble, but the other part of me thinks it would have been too soon. I'm so excited to see where they go with this guy, and I'm hoping maybe they elevate the US title by making that the center of the feud when he goes to Mania and having them all have a triple threat match for that.
If that is the way that goes. Also, we had another appearance by the Shield later, but we'll get to that first. First, let's talk about what the Wyatts did. They had a matchup against the Los Matadores. Hooray! They returned to Raw finally, and oh, my mistake. I wrote it as Rey Mysterio in my notes, but it definitely wasn't Rey Mysterio. It was Sin Cara. It was probably meant to be Rey Mysterio, but unfortunately, he got injured this week, I hear. Over on was it the SmackDown tapings, or was it just a house show?
Wait. You're telling me that Rey Mysterio got injured.
And you won't believe it. It was his leg.
No. This is very
I had to get surgery 27 times in my right knee.
You know what? There was always people talking about him faking injury so he could cash out on the guaranteed money in WCW. I wouldn't be surprised if he's pulling that shit again.
Somebody like brushes by him. He's like, oh man, my leg. I'm going to be out for another year and a half. remember where that check goes, guys?
it's area code 619. Booyaka.
Also, I want royalties for that line.
He's going to get a sponsorship deal from fucking knee braces eventually. Hi, I'm Rey Mysterio, and I love these knee braces. I wear one all the time.
Goodness gracious. I didn't even see how this match actually ended. I just know the Wyatt family won, as they should have. I don't even know who was really... Did Torito do something? I kind of hope. Probably not. I don't know. Someone tell me.
Kind of did something, but it didn't really help. I think Rowan, I think, was throwing him up against the... I don't even know what you want to call it. He was throwing him, and the Matadors got involved. And Sin Cara was awesome. Then a clothesline. That pretty much sums it up.
All right.
And you should never be a
I'm never letting you do play-by-play again, Drew.
All right, Mike Adam.
We're gonna keep you on color. So let's move on to another matchup. We had Fandango against Santino Marella, each of them bringing out their respective ladies, Summer Rae and now Emma. We got the tease for a kiss between Emma and Santino Marella. They kept pushing on the commentary, too. There's a budding romance between the two. However, Fandango takes advantage of the distraction and gets the pin on Santino Marella. Hell yeah, 2 weeks in a row, a victory for Fandango. Steven, what'd you think about that?
I couldn't give a shit. As long as Santino isn't going over, it makes me happy.
Drew?
Well, Santino got the Cobra out and put it on. And I'm not going to do commentary for this because I'm too nice.
Ooh, but yeah, commentary.
But it was what it was. You know, I don't even know what to think about this. It wasn't god awful, but it was just kind of like, what the hell is going on right now? What is on my TV screen, damn it? Who is this CM Punk you're talking about? And yeah, that's kind of what it was.
Okay. There was an answer in that somewhere.
Yeah, like Tony.
All right, for a pretty standard match, this wasn't too bad. I liked how the end of it was pretty much just a real stiff shot to the head of Santino. And it's kind of a shame that Fandango has to just beat somebody like a Santino instead of getting some kind of a decent push. But why not have him in a match with somebody like this if you're not going to have anything else for him? It gets Summer Rae out there. It's introducing Emma. And we make fun of Emma as much as we possibly can. But at the same time, they do need to bring some of the divas from NXT on there. So this is going to be stupid for a while, but it's going to accomplish exactly what it needs to. It's going to have Santino do something. Fandango is going to do something. Summer Rae is going to keep popping up in our minds. And then that way, when Marine 4 comes out and when the new season of Total Divas comes out, well, Summer Rae is not going to be that diva that hasn't been on TV in a long time. And Emma, you know, that's a way to introduce Emma. So I was fine with it. I don't know about the whole romance angle, but Santino's got a pretty damn good track record, doesn't he? He was with Beth. He was with Maria. Wasn't there somebody else, too?
Was he with Oksana at one point, I think?
He might have been. He kissed Tamina for a little bit, which is kind of a downgrade, but Santino's a player.
Yeah.
I like the Cobra.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, let's. We had another matchup between Kofi Kingston and Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger is the number one contender now for the Intercontinental title. I guess that's happening at Elimination Chamber. Who knows? The only matches people care about are the Elimination Chamber match and the Wyatt's Shield match.
What's an Intercontinental title?
Exactly. Swagger wins this with a Patriot Lock. After the match, Big E makes his entrance. And yes, it's just Big E now, and we go to commercial, and I was like, what the crap? I thought Big E was coming out for like a face down or something. We're going right to commercial. Big E ended up having his own match afterwards. It was a handicap match against Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal. Where Heath Slater was, I have no idea. We had the pleasure of having Zeb Coulter remain at ringside during this, though, with a microphone in hand, shouting over it the whole time. Luckily, we got no jokes about LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or whoever it was that got Abraham Washington AW? Fire. AW, yeah. We didn't have another incident like that. Big E ends up winning after two big endings. This was fine. You know, we got a build to a Jack Swagger, Big E match. I still want to say Big E Langston so bad.
Just say Langston.
Yeah. It's going to take a while for me to adjust on that one. But what do you guys think about our bits here? Are you excited for our Intercontinental title matchup? Do you think that after the Real Americans break up, is there still going to be hope for a fellow like Jack Swagger? Drew?
No and no.
Okay, Anthony.
Okay. Oh, but the one thing I want to say is that Drew McIntyre was wearing the trunks tonight, which only means one thing: face turn.
Okay, Tony.
This was a good attempt at giving Swagger a little bit of something to go into the match. I mean, you can't really believe that he's going to win the Intercontinental title, and by having him beat Kofi Kingston, he looks a little bit better than he would have if he would have just gone into it with nothing.
He is a former world champion, you know.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean jack shit.
I think most of the roster is a former world champion.
That's going to be his new nickname. They're changing Big E. They're changing Cesaro. He's going to be Jack Shit instead of Jack Swagger. But Big E looked strong tonight, so that's good. Big E's going to look strong at the Elimination Chamber when he beats Jack Swagger, and Jack Swagger's probably not even going to have a match at WrestleMania.
If we could all, aww, we could all only hope. Steven?
I couldn't give a fuck about Jack Swagger, and I don't know how beating Kofi Kingston makes you a number one contender for anything. When was the last time he won something?
He pinned Randy Orton a few weeks ago, but I guess everybody's been pinning Randy Orton lately.
Yeah, that doesn't count anymore. Like, Orton's like on the bottom of the rankings if they existed. But I've got no interest in seeing Jack Swagger versus Big E go at it. I think they're going to clash, and it's just going to be a bore. Hopefully they don't give him much time, and it doesn't last more than 10 minutes, which is a shame that I'm saying that about an IC title match, but that's just how far the title's fallen.
Just want to remind all the listeners out there, we're still going to be on for a little bit longer. If you want to call in, join us here on the show, area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. Dial in with your iPhone or your Android or your landline if you're still living in the Stone Ages. You can also join us via Skype by pressing the little Skype icon at the top of the broadcast page. And if you scroll down to the bottom, the chat room is always blazing with lots of cool folks in there. Creepers on Radar just joined us. Heel Turn still causing lots of fire in there. Brian the Brain, that's all I know how to pronounce that. Liberty Unlimited, grapple this. Keep things going, dudes. Really appreciate all y'all.
You know what?
Up. What's up?
We have one listener with a landline now, and you've like demoralized him totally.
Did we? Did he say that? I'm
no,
sorry.
No, I'm just fucking with you.
Is he listening to us on his 28.8K modem?
No, he just gets messages on his beeper.
Okay. Is he tuning into us via AM? Speaking of history and all that, they spent a few segments coming in from commercial dedicated to celebrating President's Day, which until I watched this, I didn't even know it was President's Day. I guess that's what happened when you don't work in retail anymore. You kind of forget where all these non-important holidays are. We had pictures of presidents showing up along with various quotes that they had said. We had Roosevelt. We had Lincoln. It's okay, I guess, if you're a patriotic dude. I think it's a little in your face most time when they do these things, but this was subtle. And a lot of the quotes that they had in there were actually liked, like speak softly and carry a big stick and the like.
Which got double play. They mentioned it twice.
They did, yeah. JBL said it, I believe.
No, Zeb Coulter did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, when he was taunting Big E. He was like, oh, Big E, I guess you don't know who said, then he said the quote again. And he was like, nah, because he failed history, just like everything else in life.
Yeah, he did it. That was mad rough. That was awesome. That's like something we would say. That was pretty right. Rough.
What a douche. Why didn't I think of that?
We also had another segment celebrating Black History Month. This week, we had it going to Ron Simmons, member of the Acolyte Protection Agency, otherwise known as Farouk, but he also had a very lengthy career in the NWA WCW promotion, where he was the first African-American heavyweight champion, which he pretty much says was the best thing that he ever did in his career. And yeah, that's a major accomplishment. And it's really kind of stupid that even since him, we haven't had too many others. What is it? Is it Mark Henry? And that's it?
Let me
Booker
check.
T?
The Rock.
Mark Henry, Booker T, and Half the Rock.
There you go. Half the Rock.
No. They don't count.
Oh, no.
I can't think of anybody else.
And I think it's awesome that they had one of these Black History Month things with someone I actually knew. Because the last couple of weeks, I had no idea who these people were. And I'm a person who likes more nostalgic wrestling, too. And like I heard of the names of them, but I'm like, I don't know a lot about what this guy has done.
It's a good thing that they had people that they actually could be proud of instead of just being like, let's do a little profile of Oscar from Men on a Mission.
What's Ahmed Johnson doing these days? Let's give him a call.
What drugs is Ahmed Johnson doing these days or something like that?
Oh, my goodness gracious. We also had a fun backstage segment with Cody Rhodes and Goldust. I guess Cody Rhodes is still nursing his injuries after doing that backflip off the cage. They're playing with what is called Stack Down Figures, the new toy line coming out from WWE. First time I'm hearing of it. There's a fun little back and forth. We learned about how one of Goldust's favorite pastimes as a child was to rip the wings off of butterflies, glue them onto his hamster, and then throwing it out the window to see if it flies. What was the name of the hamster? It was like Scabbers or Skippy or something like that.
God, I don't remember what he said.
Whatever the hell it was.
Well, any goodwill that Peter and Turt had with WWE developed by Daniel Bryan's gone out the window.
I'm surprised they didn't reference the rat in the cage.
Oh, goodness gracious. Thank goodness they didn't. And this segment didn't last too long before being interrupted by Bad News Barrett coming in and saying, I'm afraid I got some bad news. And he wrecked the toy set they were playing with and then disappeared. Hey, a different use for Bad News Barrett than otherwise just putting him on a podium. I think that's good. Give him some more variety. Makes Bad News Barrett a little bit more fun of a character. You never know when he's going to pop in. Otherwise, this was fine. You know, it's they want to promote their products, and if you want to do it in a fun way that gets some people on screen that we don't always see there, because I can't remember the last time we really heard Goldust speak through a whole segment like that, so that was refreshing to see. What'd you guys think? Any of you guys dig this?
I dig it.
I've got some depressing news for you. Wade Barrett's never getting a push.
What? Until he starts being a little bit more optimistic and he's like moderately Bad News Barrett or Happy News Barrett or something like that.
Here's
then
some
maybe.
Good news for you. I'll help you make this set right now.
Good News Barrett comes out and he's like, Batista's title shot is defunct now.
maybe you can have a split personality. One of them's good and one of them's bad.
You know, it's sad. That actually would probably get over pretty well.
Yeah, it would.
I actually have a question. You know that interview set that they when they're interviewing people in the back, they have the screen in the back. Renee Young will be there. You ever notice how they have that Raw logo that's hanging in the back, and it's the old Raw logo from like 5 years ago?
Yeah.
That pissed.
Isn't that really annoying?
It's
annoying
the
crap out of me because I'm like, why didn't they just change that over the time?
Like
they
by
have
now,
to realize.
You think they would have.
Right. They have to realize it. And actually, a couple weeks ago, I think it was a couple weeks ago, it might have been a couple months ago, but I'm pretty sure it was before Christmas that I remembered it. They had one of the old commentary tables of the old logo on it.
Really?
And I was just like, they didn't change that either? Like, these are two things that are on camera all the time. And they're just like, man, I don't really want to spend the extra $20 for this or something like
Like, even we've changed to the new logo.
Hell, I just changed the Smart Out Moment logo.
To the logo that they haven't even switched to themselves yet.
Right.
Now they're going to have to completely rebrand all that crap. Oh, my
goodness. We got some bad news for you, WWE.
Oh.
Just watch. They'll update it as soon as, like, to the current one when they get the next one.
And
they're getting messages on their beepers right now about what we're saying.
And speaking of rebranding, just want to remind everyone once again, next week's show here on Mega Powers Radio is going to be an extra special edition. We're going to be rebranding ourselves. It's going to be a brand new Raw post show. We're going to have a new logo. We're going to have all types of new segments. We're going to be going hard, and we're going to have a brand new member of the cast. It's going to be super awesome. Kind of wanted to launch it this week, but I figured I would let things pasteurize for a while, you know?
Yeah, you just keep milking it and get all the excitement going, Peyton.
What are you talking about?
Indeed. So I didn't intend to make this be the last match that we have to talk about, but it is. Jey Uso versus Billy Gunn. We had the other Uso and Road Dogg on commentary through this. Jey Uso ends up getting the victory with a roll-up. At the end of the match, he did a plancha to the outside to take out both of the Outlaws. And we have a matchup set up between the Usos and the Outlaws at Elimination Chamber for those titles. Guys, what's the deal with this? Are the Usos going to be the ones that take it away from the Outlaws? And is it going to be this Sunday, or are they going to milk that? Drew?
They're going to milk. I don't know. I think the Usos can win the title this Sunday. Actually, I think they will win the title. You heard it here first. Drew White thinks Usos will win the titles this Sunday.
We're putting a hashtag Drew White verified on that
hashtag,
one.
Hashtag Drew White verified. And if it's not, and if it does not happen, then I don't know. Maybe hashtag Drew White not verified. I don't know.
Well, if it doesn't happen, then you have to stop using hashtag Drew White verified.
Like no,
if it doesn't happen, the new member's going to replace you.
Yeah.
I can't put that much risk into it. Nope, never mind. I'm doing this
okay.
anymore.
But I like how your opinion changed. You were like, I don't know if they will. I mean, I think that they will. I'm pretty sure that they will. They're guaranteed to win.
They're guaranteed to win. No, they're not.
You had an argument with yourself and simultaneously won and lost.
Tony?
I agree with Drew.
Don't even tell me.
Tony?
They're not going to win it this weekend.
Okay.
But they are going to win it at WrestleMania. I actually really like the segment. I think that the Usos came out pretty well, and the New Age Outlaws, they did their job putting them over and not looking like complete idiots in the process. And who was the Uso that was on commentary?
That was Jimmy.
That was Jimmy? Is that the one that's in Total Divas? I never fucking remember.
Shit if yeah. I know, dude. I can't tell them apart.
Yes, it is.
It is.
He's the one who's dating
Naomi. Yeah. He actually was pretty good on the commentary booth tonight. I was surprised. I mean, he wasn't, you know, the best person they've ever had doing side commentary or anything like that. But for somebody who doesn't really get a chance to cut any promos that much and only do that Si Vitale thing, he held his own pretty well against Road Dogg.
Their back and forth was good with him being the young, up-and-coming gunner and Road Dogg being the salty old man that's like, this is my yard, kid.
Right. I liked it. I'd like to see more between these two tag teams, whether or not that's at WrestleMania or they carry it on to Extreme Rules or whatever. But I think it's not ready yet for the Usos to win. They're going to get cheated out of it this time. But come WrestleMania, that's going to change.
Steven?
I really enjoyed the back and forth between Road Dogg and whichever Uso it was. I like what they're doing. I hope they drag it out to Mania, though. I think the New Age Outlaws should hold on to it through Elimination Chamber and then drop it into the Usos at Mania. And also you can drag the feud out a bit after that and have the New Age Outlaws chase them. It's not a feud that has to be cut and dry, start here and end at Mania. They can get some good mileage out of this for a while, and I'd be all for it.
All right. Well, with that, we've talked about everything that went down on Raw tonight. You know what we didn't have on Raw tonight, unless I maybe missed it? We didn't have a Chrisley commercial.
Oh, I had like 20 of them.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
I had like 20 of them.
Oh. Well,
there was
the
thing about his daughter's dress, and he's like, class, not ass.
Well,
then he's like, hey, son, you got some text messages. Come look at him. He throws it in the freaking water. I had that one, too.
You know what other commercial's starting to get on my nerves, too? I don't know if you're getting it. The Farm Hero Saga commercials, where it's like, it's from the creators of Candy Crush.
Yes.
And it's like
yes,
all
I
these bubbly animals. Just like,
But watch out for Rancid.
Oh, my goodness. It's just so cheery rainbows. I can't take it.
Just that's the next game, you just fart out rainbows.
Yeah, it's way too much happy for me. These commercials just really do not fit with a wrestling audience. Are they serious?
Where did the good old Popeye commercials go?
Well, give me back that Batman Diet Coke commercial or something.
What happened to Karate Fighters? That
yeah,
was the kind of commercials
exactly.
You got during wrestling.
Or that fuck? What was the name of that game? That
Crossfire. Hell yeah!
Crossfire.
Don't get caught up in the.
Man, that was awesome. Damn it! I want to play the game now.
All right. Well, we're gonna start wrapping things up here by doing our high point, low point, going around the table here. Let's start off with Steven Huego. What was your high point and low point for tonight's Raw?
High point was easily Cesaro versus John Cena, and my low point, I'm going to go ahead and say Kane and Daniel Bryan, just because I'm scared of what it's going to end up being.
Grapple this saying, okay, you are marking out on commercials. You're absolutely correct. We are definitely marking out on commercials. Drew White, your high point, low point for tonight's Raw.
High point will be the Cesaro Cena match. Not much I can say. Fantastic. Low point. It might be The Miz not being on Raw tonight. I was like, a little shocked when I didn't see that. What? Yeah, I still have faith in The Miz, and I was actually kind of into his showing up and like, you guys suck, and leaving type of thing. I thought it was interesting.
Tony, your high point, low point.
High point's got to be a tie between John Cena and the Cesaro match, as well as the Shield and Wyatt family segment. I thought that both things were done extremely well. Both things really hyped me up for what could happen at Elimination Chamber. But at the opposite end, the low point had to be the Randy Orton, Sheamus tied with the Batista segment. I should be much more excited about the champion and the challenger than for these two segments to fall flat like that.
All right, and that brings it to me. I'm going to say my low point is the opening segment. Just so typical. You have one guy come out, and then another guy, and then another guy on cue. I just as quickly should have just tuned out and not even watch this, because I know how these segments always end up. I can't stand them, so that's definitely my low point. My high point, I am actually going to say, is Roman Reigns versus Mark Henry. I thought it was fantastic seeing Roman Reigns just tear apart, go through a wall like Mark Henry, hitting the Superman punch, hitting the spear, hitting all of his signature moves, the crowd loving every minute of it. Roman Reigns is going to be a huge, huge star through the year of 2014. So all this shit's going to continue. So that wraps up the high point, low point for us here on the show. Last thing we got to do is for the plugs, guys. Let's tell them what's going on in our worlds. Drew, you start us off.
No new plugs besides the fact that Total Diva March 16th, everyone's got to get excited for some Total Divas to be back into their life because, you know, best show on TV nowadays. But besides for that, you know, Drew Crews, verified all that jabba-jabba bullcrap that everyone likes. And, yeah, go Team White.
What?
Jabba-jabba bullcrap? What the fuck are you on tonight, kid?
Steven?
I'm sorry, I really gotta pee.
Okay. Yeah, plug. February 23rd, check out Addicted to Anime as we review Full Metal Alchemist and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood live here on Mega Powers Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, join the Facebook group, facebook.com/addictedanimefans, and stay tuned, and we've got some exciting things happening.
Tremendous. Tony Mango, close us out here.
Same thing as always, guys. SmarkOutMoment.com is my wrestling website. You can check everything out on that website that I have to do with wrestling other than on Bleacher Report and on Smack Talk. This week, we are going to be doing our full predictions for the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view as well as all the other segments that we usually do. So make sure that you check that out on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher, and follow everything else at AmangoTree by doing a search for all the other crap that I've got going on. Jibba jibba, whatever the hell the Drew had said.
Jabba jabba bullcrap. Yeah.
Shimmy shimmy cocoa bond. Shimmy shimmy right. All right, everyone. We certainly hope you enjoy tuning in to the Monday Night Raw post show here on Mega Powers Radio. We will be here every single Monday night, especially next Monday. Y'all should be tuning in. I don't think anything else too excellent is going on. We're going to be having something super special. It's going to be the brand new Raw post show. You certainly want to join us for that. It's going to be an excellent episode. New segments, new fun, new member of the cast. Lots of awesome stuff going on. So make sure you're here every single Monday night, not just next, but every single Monday night, megapowersradio.com. Join us on Facebook, facebook.com/rawpostshow. On Twitter, @rawpostshow, or using the #rawpostshow. Also, please subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio so you can get us automatically on your iPod, Android device, or whatever it may be. So you don't even have to think about looking for us. If you can't be here on Monday, we'll automatically be there waiting for you on Tuesday morning for you to listen to. For Drew White, for Tony Mango, for Steven Wago, I'm Mike Payton. We'll see y'all next time on Mega Powers Radio. Have a good night, y'all.